I'll just say a prayer before we move into reflect a little bit on the cross. Let's pray. Father, we pause, acknowledge your presence among us. We come to you, trusting in the promise that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask that you would be active in our hearts and in our minds by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and work in our hearts and minds. That these spoken words of mine might be faithful to the written words of Holy Scripture, and they would lead us all to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our friend, our brother, and our Savior. Amen. Well, I don't want to speak for a long time this morning. I just have a few words. I want to focus a little bit on the cross. The cross, which of course is for us as Christians the central event of our faith, along with crucifixion. Cross and resurrection always go together. And we understand them both by the other one. And the cross is the place where we see God most perfectly revealed among us, where we see Jesus we see the face of God as he identifies with us. I want to just talk a little bit about what J. Lewis Martin, the great biblical scholar, called the Christian two-step, because I think sometimes I tend to focus on the cross in ways that are not biblical. And really what's happening on the cross is something that is profound and profoundly different than the sorts of things that we often think about in terms of sacrifice. And we talk about the sacrifice for sins, and in fact, we have such a great reading today from the lesson from the letter to the Hebrews, which talks about the cross in these terms. And it's really in the letter to the Hebrews we have a really full developed theology of the cross, which is quite profound. But I think we sometimes think of this in ways that are not biblical, and we sort of import other ideas in. Because you see, in paganism, the cross was an exchange. That's sort of sacrifice is an exchange, and that's the core concept that is used there. And then, of course, there's this kind of bargaining that we're doing with God, and God bargains with us. The idea here is that I give up something meaningful in order for the God or the gods to give something important. And J. Lewis Martin says that this gets imported into Christianity, and we see the cross in those terms. And he calls it the Christian two-step, where God is sort of paid off, and then we get salvation. And there's something about that I think we can't get away from, and we often rehearse in our minds, and it runs over kind of like a loop. But really, I want to understand the cross in exactly opposite terms. You see, in Hebrew thought and in the Hebrew religion, in the Old Testament, as we look at what sacrifice is all about, really the core concept here is one of cleansing or purification. And we really see this played out in the chapter before the one we read from the Hebrews, in chapter 9. We read Hebrews 10, and in Hebrews 9, this really gets played out. But the core concept there is not sort of exchange and bargaining, but rather it's about cleansing and receiving ongoing life. And I don't have time to sort of draw this out in a lot of the detail. But what we see in Jesus is even takes this even a step further, that with Jesus, the cross is one of self-giving. Giving up of a life. Whereas in the Hebrew thought, the idea, the core concept is that the blood of the animals would indicate the investment of life, and God accepts that, and there is a continuation of life for those who are sacrificing. In Jesus' case, he actually gives up his life, and his blood gives us new life. And so it's about newness of life. And there's sort of three ideas that I want to say, three thoughts I want to have around the cross. And first of all, I want to say that God isn't punishing on the cross as much as he is bringing new life. We often have this very negative idea. But what we have here is that the blood of Christ is bringing us new life. Because secondly, God isn't bargaining with us. He's not saying, you do this and I'll do that. Rather, what God is doing instead is he's appealing to us. He is laying his life out for us and giving us new life in the process. And finally, God isn't in debt. God is not in debt to us, to Satan, not even to himself. This is not something that God has to do. And instead, what God is doing is he is acting for us so that he can lift the curse, because we're enslaved. It's not that he's in debt, it's that we're enslaved. And so sin is both a personal problem that I have, but it's also, like COVID-19, it's a problem that infects everything around us, and it spreads, and there's a kind of contagion idea, and we're under the curse. And what we find is that on the cross, God solves the problem for us. He takes our problems and makes them his problems. And so what that does for us as Christians is it inspires us to live lives of service for others, to give up our lives in the same way that Jesus gives up our life, his life, so that others can receive that life and that we can find true life in God through Jesus Christ. I say all these things in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.